The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
My question for you is, how often do you spend time with God? You've got this open access to it. You're under the new covenant. How often do you spend time with God? I mean, honestly, how often do you take advantage of the access you have to God? Do you spend time with Him every day? Do you get into the Word and read your Bible every day? Do you spend time in His presence through prayer every day?
As we study the book of Exodus with Pastor Dan, we'll be frequently reminded just how complicated and messy the Old Covenant was. It was a work of mercy and grace that God allowed the Israelites an opportunity to commune with Him, but it was all indirect, through priests, offerings, and temples. But because of Jesus' ultimate sacrifice on the cross, we now can approach God, the Creator of the universe, on a daily basis. And He wants to listen and speak to our hearts. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Chapter 24 of the book of Exodus is one of the most important chapters in the entire Bible, because this is where God enters into the covenant with the children of Israel. This is what is sometimes referred to as the Mosaic Covenant, the covenant with Moses, the Mosaic Covenant. It's also referred to as the covenant of the law, or the Old Covenant is another name for it. And so this is where God institutes that covenant. Look at verse 1. Again, they're still at Mount Sinai. Now God said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, come up to Jehovah, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar." The first thing we want to remind ourselves of here is that God is the initiator. God is the initiator of this relationship. God is the initiator of the covenant with Israel. God is the one inviting Israel, inviting Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the elders up to himself. He's the initiator, just as God initiated his relationship with you and with me. He's the initiator with us. He sought us out and he called us. And he established a covenant with us through Jesus Christ. We didn't go to him. We didn't go to God one day and decide, you know what, I think I'm going to ask God if he'd like to enter into a covenant with me. I've got some ideas of maybe how we could. No. And I bet for many of us in this room, we were just living our life, doing our thing, when God, by his grace, just disrupted what we were doing and began to draw us by his Holy Spirit and began to call us and began to reveal himself to us and began to give us that feeling of emptiness and longing and need for him in us. He's the initiator. And God calls Moses to come up onto the mountain, up Mount Sinai, along with Aaron. Remember, Aaron is the older brother of Moses, and Aaron was Moses' spokesperson before Pharaoh. Remember that back when they were in Egypt, because Moses said, I'm slow of speech. I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a good public speaker. And God said, that's okay. I'll send your brother and he'll do all the talking. You just tell him what I tell you to say. And then Aaron will say it to Pharaoh. So he was the spokesperson. And Aaron will be the first high priest of Israel, as we'll see later on. And Aaron is to bring two of his sons, Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu will serve as priests in the tabernacle alongside their father Aaron. And Nadab and Abihu are probably most well known for an event that takes place in Leviticus chapter 10, where they offer strange fire to God. You may know that story. God also calls the 70 elders of Israel to come up on Mount Sinai to Jehovah. Come up to the Lord and notice and worship him. But notice that it says, and worship him from afar. Now, if you're taking notes, the word worship, it literally means to bow down or to prostrate yourself before God. It's a posture of humility. It's a way of recognizing God's superiority over you, bowing down before him. And so they are to come up the mountain to God, to Jehovah, and worship God, but worship him from afar. Bow before him, but they must do this from afar. They can't get too close to God. They must worship him from afar. Now, why from afar? Because God is holy. God is holy. And they are sinful. And a sinful person, listen to me, a sinful person cannot draw near to a holy God. And neither can we, because we're sinful, apart from Christ. Neither can we come into God's presence on the basis of our own goodness or on the basis of our own righteousness. Isaiah 59 says that our sin separates us from God. We're sinful. God is holy. God is not like, you know, our buddy up in heaven. God is not our homie up in heaven. He's not the big guy up in the sky. God is holy. And God wants us to honor his holiness. And so God here, please note this, God sets a limit to how close they may come. He sets a boundary. He invites them to come, but he sets a boundary. They must worship him from afar. Now, later on in the tabernacle, God will have a curtain separating the Holy of Holies, where his glory dwells, where his presence dwells. He has a curtain separating himself from man because he's holy. And man cannot just enter into his presence apart from Christ, as we'll see. And so God puts this curtain there because man is sinful, man is carnal, and he cannot come into the presence of the holy God. And so he goes on here in verse 2 to say, and Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him. The people, remember, were down below camping at the base of Mount Sinai. And if you recall, God said to the people, he said that they could not come near the mountain. He said they could not even touch the mountain. Again, because God is holy. And so for the vast majority of Israel, they're down in the camp at the base of the mountain, and they're not allowed to come near to the mountain because God is so holy. They're not allowed to approach the mountain and touch it because he's holy. And then he says that Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders, well, they could come up on the mountain, but they still had to keep their distance from God and worship him from afar. Moses alone, he's the only one. He can come near to the Lord. This is the old covenant. This is the old covenant. And in the old covenant, God sets limits to how close a person can come to him. Aren't you glad you live under the new covenant? Under the old covenant, you couldn't come close to God. You had to keep your distance from him. In the new covenant that we're under, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the Bible tells us he paid for all of our sins once and for all. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, his shed blood, has completely removed our sin that separated us from God. When Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished. The price is paid in full." And when Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross and he bowed his head and he died, what happened next? The veil was torn, right? The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, not bottom to top, from top to bottom. God tore that veil, the veil that kept man from coming into the presence of God, because God is holy, man is sinful. Now the sin has been dealt with and the veil is torn, signifying that we have access into God's presence now because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that we can come boldly into God's presence now. We can come boldly to his throne of grace and into his presence. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says, we can boldly enter into the holiest. We can boldly enter into the holy of holies, where God dwells. It says, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have unlimited access to God. In the old covenant that we're looking at here in Exodus 24, God set a limit to how close a person could approach him. You could only come so far. He set a limit. Even in the tabernacle, the high priest could only enter in behind that veil into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, one day a year on the Day of Atonement. And the high priest would enter into the presence of God on that one day of the year, and he would apply blood of a sacrifice to the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people for that year, and then he would leave. He was not in there hanging out with God. He's in there just to cover the sins of man, and then he leaves. He atones for the sins. In the new covenant, we can come as close to God as we want, as often as we want, for as long as we want. Please give me your attention. In the new covenant, now it's up to us. Now it's up to you, now it's up to me how close we want to get to God. Because the veil's torn, we have open access to him, and now it's up to us how often we come to him, how closely we draw near to him. How often? How long? And my question for you is, how often do you spend time with God? You've got this open access to him. You're under the new covenant. How often do you spend time with God? I mean, honestly, how often do you take advantage of the access you have to God? Do you spend time with him every day? Do you get into the Word and read your Bible every day? Do you spend time in his presence through prayer every day? You should. You should read your Bible every day. You should spend time in prayer every day. You should come boldly to him every day. You should draw near to him every day. I suggest you start your day, begin your day, give your morning to God, and start your day in his presence, in his word, in prayer.
You're listening to Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton of Calvary Chapel, Ellicott City, Maryland. We'll return to the second half of today's message in a moment. But first, here's a word from Pastor Dan.
It's my privilege to share the Word of God with you through our radio ministry, Ring of Truth. Thank you for tuning in each day. Hey, I would love to hear from you. Will you take a moment to email me to tell me how these daily studies have ministered to you? I want to hear your story. You can email me through our website at calvaryec.com. That's calvaryec.com.
Thanks, Pastor Dan. Now let's join him again for the conclusion of today's edition of Ring of Truth.
You know, Jesus said men ought always to pray. And when Jesus said men ought always to pray, he wasn't saying that's just what a good Christian does. No, he was saying the God of the universe invites you to come to him with your needs, with your concerns, with your worries, with your anxieties. We have access to God. God has made himself available to us to help us and to guide us, to navigate us through life. That's why you ought always to pray, because of this unbelievable access you have. So take advantage of it. And please understand, I don't say this to make you feel guilty. I say this to encourage you to take advantage of the access you have to God and spend time with him every day through reading the Bible and praying. Spend time in his presence. Designate a time every day when you meet with the Lord and keep that appointment every day. You know, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Jesus is called the Wonderful Counselor. The Wonderful Counselor. You're invited to the Wonderful Counselor. As often as you need to, for as long as you need to, you can go to the Wonderful Counselor. And he's never going to say to you, hey, your 45 minutes are up. Make sure you pay the receptionist out front. Listen, again, I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. Do you need counseling? You can go to the wonderful counselor. What does any human counselor have to offer you compared to the wonderful counselor who says, my door is open anytime you want. I'm available to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're hidden in Jesus. Do you need wisdom? Well, in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you need wisdom, go to Jesus. Spend time with him. Get into the word. Get into prayer. Seek the Lord. Draw near to him, and he promises to draw near to you. We've got this access now because of the new covenant in Jesus Christ, in his blood, and we should use it. But again, in the new covenant, it's up to us. We decide how closely we want to draw to God and how often. He's torn the veil, and he says, you come. Come to me if you're weary. Come to me if you're burdened. Come to me if you're heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'm here. I'm the wonderful counselor. In me are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge you'll ever need. You have to come. You have to come. In the old covenant, it's don't come so close. You got to worship from afar. Look at verse 3. So Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. Now, when he says all the words, that refers to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are called the Ten Words from God. And the judgments, I just spoke of that a few minutes ago. The judgments refers to the applications for everyday life, right? And recorded in chapters 21 to 23. So here now in verse 3, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, the Ten Commandments, and then all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Now, if you're taking notes, verses 3 to 8, lay out for us really the steps in establishing a covenant between two parties in the ancient world. This is a wonderful description of how they would establish a covenant between two parties. First, Moses told the children of Israel all the words of the Lord and his judgments. He states what the Lord requires from the children of Israel in this covenant. He verbally says it to them, and then they respond by saying, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. So the people agree to the terms of the covenant. Right? You can maybe think of it as entering into a contractual agreement here. And you know, if you've ever bought a house and you sit down with the lawyer who reads everything to you and explains it to you, right? And do you understand this? They read the next section. Do you understand that? And then you start signing things and sign away the next 30 years of your life kind of thing, right? Well, that's what's happening here. God states what his expectation is, and then the people agree to it, and they say, we will do all the words that the Lord has said. We will do. Now, they are very optimistic, aren't they? Spoiler alert, they're not going to keep the covenant. In fact, in a couple chapters, we'll see, while Moses is still up on the mountain receiving the covenant, finalizing the documents, they're going to make a golden calf. They will not keep the word of the Lord. They're going to break his commands. Now, please note, though, they desire to keep his commandments, but they fail. Why? Because they're sinners. Because they're sinners. You know, the Bible says that we all fall short. We all fail. The Bible says there's no one righteous. No, not one. There's no one who does good. We also have a desire to obey the Lord, don't we? We all want to do what's right, but we fail. We all miss the mark. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 7. I'll just read it to you. Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, beginning in a couple verses from Romans 7, verse 15. Listen closely to what he says. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Can you relate to Paul here? The things I want to do, I'm not doing them. I want to obey the Lord. I want to walk in righteousness. I want to make godly choices, but I'm not. And the things that I hate, I'm doing, and I keep doing them. He goes on later in the same chapter. He says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." I have the will, I have the desire to do what is good, but how to do what is good, how to perform it, I can't figure that out, Paul says. "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." You know, Paul is kind of processing through this as he writes it seems. He realizes, I've just got sin in me. I find then a law that evil is just present with me. The one who wills to do good, I will to do good, I desire to do good, but I've just got this evil inside of me. "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." My inner man, my inward man, wants to do what's right, but it's like there's this other thing, this other person in control. And then he says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Earlier, as he's processing through this, he says, how? I don't know how to perform. How to perform what is good, I do not find. He's looking for a method. How do I do it? By the end of it, he realizes he doesn't need a how, he needs a who. Who will deliver me? Now he's looking for a person. Now he's looking for someone else to do it for him on his behalf. And that goes into chapter 8 of Romans. And in chapter 8 of Romans, he begins to speak about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And he begins to talk about walking according to the Spirit, or the Spirit-filled life. In chapters 1 to 7 in the book of Romans, Paul mentions the Holy Spirit 4 times. 7 chapters, 4 mentions. Chapter 8, he mentions the Holy Spirit 20 times. As he's now realizing, it's not how to perform it. I don't need a method that shows me how to live a righteous life. I need a who. I need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will do it in me and through me as I walk in the Spirit. That is the key, walking in the Spirit. Listen to this verse. This is out of Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. Listen to the promise God makes here. "I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." I will put my Spirit in you, and my Spirit that is in you will cause you to walk in my statutes. Galatians 5:16 says, "If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." It's a definite promise from God. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
Did you know that Ring of Truth is a listener-supported ministry aimed to bring you God's Word wherever you're at? Whether you're at home or on the road, we're here to help you grow in your faith. You love to stay connected through social media? Find us on Facebook. Listen to us on iTunes and our podcast. There are numerous other ways to stay up to date with what's happening at Ring of Truth. All you have to do is go to calvaryec.com to get started. Our mission and vision and what we believe can be found on our website as well. In case you didn't catch that website, it's calvaryec.com. Ring of Truth is a radio ministry that comes to you from Columbia, Maryland. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. For those of you who aren't morning people, we also have a Sunday afternoon service at 12:30 p.m. Or you're welcome to come Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Take your pick, but please, come if you're in the area. Did you know that live stream is available for those unable to attend in person? For all of our long-distance listeners, we hope you'll utilize this tool to stay connected. Pastor Dan has been teaching from the book of Exodus, and he's not done yet. Be sure to come back again as he continues pulling nuggets from this Old Testament book. Thanks for staying tuned in today to Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft it. And well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes willingness and a conscious choice. You need not guess, there's a ring of truth that is unmistakable. A knowing that you cannot find alone. And if you listen carefully, and sometimes even if you don't, you can hear the sound. Whoa. He asked me how I know, and I say it rings true.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.